Carolina Snowflake. Carolina Snowflake. Carolina Snowflake.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Jason. I'm Jason. And we're back with another episode of the Carolina Snowflakes podcast. We're your hosts.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jason. And this week, it's a brand new week in the Carolina Snowflakes universe. And, you know, we're on part two of our Republican shitbag series about Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis fucking Schlafly, as I like to call her. And we're going to totally go over her this week. But before we get into her, I did have something I wanted to say from the last week that occurred. I had a little something that I have to get off of my chest. So, Joe Rogan, you may be familiar with Joe Rogan.
You're like, so Joe Rogan.
Okay, he has a podcast. It's something that I used to listen to a little bit more than I don't listen to him very much now, but I used to listen to it quite a bit. Because he had lots of comics on that I enjoyed, and, you know, he was kind of funny, I thought. And he still kind of is, but over time, he's gotten worse and worse and more, you know, Republican and white right wing, and started hanging out with Jordan Peterson and things like that. In fact, the last time I listened to Joe Rogan before this week was maybe a year or so ago, whenever he did his shitty interview that was 3 hours long with Jordan Peterson, who was wearing a blue and red suit that was like divided down the middle. He looked crazy, and it was bad. I mean, it was Jordan Peterson doing his thing. So there was like Joe Rogan and Kermit, and they were both kind of being fashy, but it was bad. But like, I was like, it's Jordan Peterson. What do I expect? I listened to the whole thing and I was pretty much like, yeah, this sucks. And I didn't really listen to Joe Rogan for about a year. And then this last week I heard this guy. Okay. There's this guy, Christopher Rufo. I don't know. Have you heard of Chris Rufo?
Only through you.
Only what I told you. So he's a shitbag, young, sort of conservative up-and-comer. He's a member of the board of some college in Florida that they converted from a left-wing hellscape with people with blue hair into a nice, beautiful campus with hedgerows and people aren't allowed to hold hands or whatever. And
hellscape.
Yeah, he sucks. And he was on Joe Rogan's show, and they had what may have been, I mean, it was by far the worst episode of a podcast, let alone Joe Rogan's podcast, that I've ever heard. Like, it was terrible. They spent the first 30, 45 minutes bitching about drug addicts and the homeless and complaining about the language of houselessness versus homelessness and about how, oh, it's bullshit that we should have to change the name to houselessness, and we need rules to get the drug addicts off the streets, and we need all these laws to protect us from the drug addicts. And Joe Rogan talks about how he fled California because it was a socialist hellscape with drug addicts everywhere, and I had to get down to Texas where there's freedom and laws to protect me from these shitbags. And then the whole rest of the episode was them complaining about how they don't have freedoms and the left wants to take away all their freedoms and there's too many rules. Mm-hmm. And it's like really, really infuriating because it's right in front of me that these guys literally complain about there being rules and then complain about that there shouldn't be rules. Like in the same podcast episode, like mm-hmm. the same episode is there both should and shouldn't be more rules. But what they really mean is like, they need to get rid of all the rules I don't like because freedom. And then they need to institute a bunch of laws that I do like because fuck the other people's freedom,
yes.
I guess.
Yeah.
It's so fucking crazy. And it was infuriating. And I just really had to get off my chest that Joe Rogan sucks a lot. He has gotten so much worse than he used to be. His show has gone downhill to the point where it is basically unlistenable by reasonable people. I wouldn't request you to ever listen to Joe Rogan, and I'm honestly gonna try to avoid covering him anymore because fuck that dude is all I got to say. He shouldn't be any more popular than Nick Fuentes, and yet he is. That's how I feel about it. So I just had to get that off my chest. Fuck Joe Rogan and your shitty podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was just for me. I didn't really want anything from you there. I just that motherfucker, man. So anyway, I had to get that off my chest, but we're not going to talk about Joe Rogan anymore. Now we're going to talk about Phyllis fucking Schlafly, who Actually, it's worse. So that's where we're at.
Look at what you're doing to yourself.
Yeah, I know. And it's all for you people out there, for your entertainment. I torture myself with this shit. Someone has to do it. So last week we covered Phyllis Schlafly's early life. She married a rich lawyer. She got involved in Republican causes. She was a secret member of the John Birch Society. She ran for office and lost a bunch of times. The big thing that we ended with was her opposition to the Equal Rights Amendment and her forming Stop Taking Our Privileges movement.
Yeah. Which she meant privileges as in having men take care of you.
Yes, having the privilege of having a man provide for you when you not have to work.
Right.
That's the privilege. And she thinks that giving women equal rights for government jobs will get rid of that.
Yes.
And you were like, I need to hear her say it.
Yes.
So that's what this week is mostly going to be. I've got about 10 audio clips of Phyllis doing various appearances and saying the exact shit I've been saying that she was saying so that you can hear it from her. But it won't make you feel any better. I can tell you that.
Great.
Yeah. So at this point, like chronologically, we're in the early 1970s. Now, because it was an amendment to the Constitution, the Equal Rights Amendment had to pass with a two-thirds majority in the Senate, House, and then had to be ratified by enough states. I think that it was like 40 states or something, two-thirds or three-fourths of the states. In 1972, the amendment had passed the Senate and the House, and it was only held up by the states. Phyllis decided this was really scary. Her stop wasn't working enough, so she formed a new organization that she called the Eagle Forum, because these Republican people, they love eagles. The Eagle Forum is a lobbying group that, guess what, still exists today. Those fuckers are still around. And she formed this organization to publish newsletters to teach housewives how to get politically active against the ERA. So she's like, I need to form a new organization that, instead of focusing on stop taking our privileges, we need to focus on teaching housewives how to become politically active. Very similar to what they do today, you know, become a member of your school board and stuff like that. So this was pretty extreme for the time, because most moderates in the Republican Party were kind of okay with the ERA, and they were also pretty okay with abortion rights. Like, at the time, her position was extreme. We talked about that a lot in the last episode, that it seems like what she's doing is regular Republican shit, but at the time it wasn't. It was pretty extreme. She was going against what the party was. She was the minority by a pretty good amount.
Well, if I remember correctly, wasn't the group they were primarily focused on was government employees?
Yes, that's what the Equal Rights Amendment is, only for government employees.
Yeah, so I can see why Republicans would be less.
Yeah, they didn't.
Yeah.
And like I said at the time, even abortion wasn't an issue they cared that much about. Phyllis worked tirelessly to make these culture war issues and try to move the Overton window. She has consciously decided that these culture war things are where Republicans need to go, and that was like the ticket. So she had began to form what we now call the evangelical base of the Republican Party when she got linked up with a guy named Jerry Falwell.
Oh.
Now, I know you know who Jerry Falwell was.
Yeah.
He was the leader of the Moral Majority, which was essentially his and Phyllis's doing. Like, Phyllis was working with Jerry Falwell and made the Moral Majority, which were a bunch of right-wing, extreme, evangelical Republicans who took over the Republican Party. One of the big issues that they were attacking at the time was called forced gay marriage. Now, when I hear forced gay marriage, I think that means you have to marry gay people.
Yeah.
But what they meant by saying forced gay marriage was forcing churches to marry gay people. So they thought, we are opposed to forced gay marriage. Now, they use those words because most people would think that that means forcing me to marry a dude.
Mm-hmm.
But what it really was they were against legalizing gay marriage. That's what they were against. And they thought that that was going to mean they were going to force churches to marry gay people, which is fucking ridiculous. That still never happened. That's not a thing.
No.
Yeah.
Even with legal gay marriage.
Yeah. It's not a thing where you force churches to marry gay people. Like,
no.
That's not a thing.
No.
It never was going to be a thing. But she, like they always do, you know, turned it into a culture war thing. Took it out of policy and into culture.
And turned it to extremism.
Mm-hmm. So That was her thing. In the same vein, she also insisted that universal unisex bathrooms were going to be mandated, that like we're going to have to poop next to men. that was
a thing even back in the early 70s.
Which
bathroom?
Yeah, and are you going to make me use the bath? It's very weird. She's like obsessed with this idea that she's going to, I think she has some sort of fetish or something. She wants to shit next to men. I don't know, but she's obsessed with it. It's weird. So she would spend the early 70s until her death stoking culture wars to shore up Republican votes. By this point, she was outspoken in her opposition to feminism. From now on, you won't have to trust me, though. Phyllis will be speaking for herself on the matter. All the videos that I chose for this podcast are from a YouTube channel called Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. The About section says the following. The Phyllis Schlafly Center houses the archives of the late conservative icon Phyllis Schlafly and several of the nonprofit organizations that she funded, and promotes her legacy and values to grassroots Americans. So all these are coming from a place where they love Phyllis and they think she's great.
They're pro Phyllis.
Mm-hmm. Luckily, they only have about 5.7 thousand subscribers, so I guess I'm one of the select few who are actually interested in what this shitbag had to say. So that's at least somewhat comforting. There's only about 5,000 of us, 5,500 of us. We're going to start our clips for Phyllis with an episode that she did on the Today Show with Barbara Walters.
Oh.
On September 29th, 1972. Her first point is going to be about that, like, if the ERA passes and people get divorced, that we're going to have to be like King Solomon from the Bible and split the children. So that's going to be our first clip, and here it goes.
Under our system, in case of the breakup of marriage, the mother gets her children in most cases. Now, who wants to trade that in for a so-called equality, whereby each parent gets one child?
Well, I don't think the Equal Rights Amendment says that in case of a divorce, each parent gets one child.
It says that you've got to interpret things absolutely equally.
So gonna have to split the kids.
Well, Barbara's like, I don't think that's what it says, yeah, Phyllis.
It doesn't say that at all. Like, it's for government employees' fair treatment at work. Nothing to do with...
And she's like, no, we're supposed to interpret what does equal mean.
Yeah, and I want to know, I want to ask her, my follow-up, if I was Barbara Walters in this situation, I would have said, what if you have an odd number of children, Phyllis?
Yeah. What are you going to do, Phyllis?
Yeah, are we...
How are you going to be equal on that?
Yeah, that's why I said she wants... Apparently, we'll have to be like King Solomon from the Bible and just split kids.
Yeah.
So that's her first dumbass argument that's clearly wrong and stupid. And, I mean, even Barbara was like, what?
She's like, Phyllis, no.
It doesn't say that. So the next thing that happens is Phyllis is going to argue another point, and Barbara will push back a little bit, but it's to no avail because, as you will learn from listening to Phyllis, she's pretty much immune to pushback. I'll give her credit. She can handle people pushing back against her and never loses her cool, and this is an example.
Now, take another point is the draft. Everybody admits that the Equal Rights Amendment will make women subject to the draft. There's no dispute about this. This is admitted in all the hearings and debate and testimony. And it's beyond me why women should agitate to be drafted.
But
if they want to be drafted, they could go volunteer. But why do they want to take the right from the rest of women away so that we are subject to the draft?
If we're talking about the Equal Rights Amendment, that's one thing, and we can argue about that. If we're talking about the women's liberation movement per se, that is something else. And what it does offer women is the choice, which you're beginning to have, to work or not to work. And some women would even want to be drafted and feel that they should serve.
Then they should volunteer.
That they should have equality. But is your major objection the Equal Rights Amendment? Mm-hmm. Is that what bothers you about the women's liberation movement? Not the movement itself, but that particular law, which, by the way, has not been ratified by all of the states.
The major objection to the Equal Rights Amendment is that it would take away from women rights and privileges which they now have.
All right, yeah, so there you have it. Women are going to get drafted.
Poor Barbara. Like,
yeah.
She tried. She was like,
What? Yeah, in the video, it's very funny because Phyllis will go on and Barbara's like looking at the camera and she kind of shrugs like, fuck, I don't know. I'm stuck with this bitch too. I don't know what to say.
It's like when you bump into a Q-tip in the wild and they're all gung-ho for their conspiracy.
Yeah.
And like nothing you say.
Yeah, just nothing.
Is going to register or be answerable by them.
Yeah, and they'll dodge with no, like, no real... Because I guess I didn't do as great of a job setting it up as I could have, but they were talking about the women's liberation movement, her being an anti-feminist. Mm-hmm. They weren't really talking about the Equal Rights Amendment, but that's something that Phyllis just always goes back to. And with these bullshit arguments that aren't true about what the Equal Rights Amendment would be, because the draft thing was that I don't know... I don't really know what to say about it. It's just the stupidest argument I've ever heard. The giving women equal rights at work who work for the government somehow resulting in women becoming drafted and fighting in combat, like, that is crazy. That's I don't know what else to say. Like, yeah, that's not true.
That's what I meant. Like, it's when you run into those kinds of people,
mm-hmm.
and they will... There is no logicking with them, mm-hmm. or having a conversation in which you debate, because they just go off into crazy train, mm-hmm. land, and they'll jump from one thought right into another thought.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Just wide-eyed and crazy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Barbara was not feeling it. It's pretty funny if you watch the video of that interview, because first of all, they both have like 70s hair and 70s style. And so it's pretty crazy from that point of view. And then also just Barbara is like, she literally kind of shrugs at the camera, just like, I don't know.
She's like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I got nothing
really to say to this. Like, she's nuts.
Because you can't ask her a question because she'll just dodge it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or just talk about the thing that you weren't talking about. Mm-hmm. That's what she does. So Phyllis does say in that clip, though, that her opposition to the ERA is that we'll take away her rights. That was something that I said was her argument, and you said you wanted to hear it from her mouth. So there you go. That is her saying that giving women equal rights will take away her rights or privileges somehow. So a funny thing does happen in the video, though. Phyllis Schlafly appears, like, the name Phyllis Schlafly appears on the screen under her, like they do on the news sometimes when she's talking. Mm-hmm. And then below that, where it, like, has her title or whatever, it just says anti-feminist.
Oh.
Which is pretty funny. And then she looks straight at the camera and she says this.
Rights to stay home.
They still have that right. The Equal Rights Amendment does not take away that right.
But not according to law. According to the best constitutional authority and the debates in the Senate, this would remove and wipe out the laws of the 50 states which make the husband primarily responsible for the financial support of his wife and children. And it isn't a matter of what you or I think. It's a matter of what is shown in the legislative history.
Well, yeah.
So first of all, I had to make Jason play that twice.
Uh-huh.
Because I was like, did I hear that?
Yeah, no, you heard it. That's what she said. Wow. Looking at the camera. So what do you think about that statement?
This lady's just nuts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's no, that, what law is she speaking of?
She said, according to her, there are laws in every state that make the husband responsible for the financial support of his wife and children. And that somehow giving women equal rights that work for the government will get rid of all those laws, and the men will not be financially responsible for taking care of their wives anymore.
And also that women will not be able to stay home.
Yeah, because their husbands won't be providing for them anymore, so they'll have to go work, I guess.
What? Wow!
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I think she's nuts.
Yeah, well, besides that, like...
That's crazy talk. That's not real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's infuriating, isn't it?
Poor Barbara.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, ma'am.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's going to get worse. we're just getting started on Phyllis. She sucks a lot. So
she sucks a lot.
Mm-hmm. So she would do a debate-style show, again, on the Today Show with Barbara Walters, but this time it's a debate with her and a lady named Lucy Benson, who's a feminist author. At the time, this is 1973, so it's about a year later, and Barbara does a good job here. I'll let Barbara Walters explain exactly where the Equal Rights Amendment is at legally in 1973.
It's been nearly half a century. Its time seemed right, and it was adopted last spring by an overwhelming majority of Congress. Now, that didn't mean that the Equal Rights Amendment for women became law. Then has to be ratified by the individual states. To date, 30 states have ratified the amendment. It still has eight states short to go of the 3/4 majority required before it can become the 27th amendment to our Constitution. The amendment itself seems simple. What it says is this: equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. Seemingly very simple, but it's become one of the most complex and complicated and controversial proposed amendments in our history.
So, yeah, only 8 states left by this point. If just 8 more states ratify this thing, it's going to become an amendment.
I wonder which states were the holdouts.
It was
predominantly southern,
I imagine.
It
was predominantly southern states, and I think we will get a little bit more into what happened with the ERA and why it's not an amendment.
Yeah.
If you know, I mean, I hate to spoiler, but if you know that that amendment didn't pass, we'll get into a little bit of why. But at this point, it was only 8 states away. And Phyllis was out there doing the devil's work, trying to stop it from passing.
Doing the devil's work.
Phyllis will elaborate a bit on the subject that she mentioned before, that the laws will, making husbands responsible for taking care of the wife will go away. She's going to do a little bit of elaborating on that. Which,
oh, good.
Yeah, so,
I could use some clarification.
Yeah, so Phyllis is going to do a little clarification on that crazy nonsense in this next clip.
Yes, we oppose the Equal Rights Amendment because it won't do anything at all for women in the field of employment. But on the other hand, it will take away from women some of the most important rights and benefits they now have. For example, the laws of every one of our 50 states make it the obligation of the husband to support his wife and family. These laws are not equal. The husband has the obligation. And these are the laws which give the wife her legal right to be a full-time wife and mother supported by her husband. Now, ERA, or the Equal Rights Amendment, will invalidate these laws because no longer can you have any legislation that imposes an obligation on one sex but doesn't impose on the other.
Oh, boy. So,
I think I figured it out.
Yeah.
She's still really bitter about her father.
I think so.
And that time he was unemployed and refused to accept unemployment pay.
I think it has something to do with that.
And her mom had to work
like
3 jobs or whatever to support them.
I know. I told you that would come up.
Yeah. I think old Phyllis, her childhood traumas are at the root of this.
I do too. I do too. And I knew we would get there and you would eventually be like, that is fucking why this happened. But I had to, you know, you can.
I mean, I do wonder though, because
I had to show it.
I'm not super versed. Maybe, you know, were there laws in states about that?
Yes, there were, in the sense that there were laws that could be interpreted as like the husband is responsible. If the wife is mistreated or the child is mistreated, it's the husband's fault. And if they're poor and starving, then the husband, it's his fault.
I mean, I know that there probably was like a social pressure for that, but like. Was there actual law?
There were, as she said, there were like state laws. And I watched a lot of her debating, and a lot of times she's busting out laws from states that probably aren't enforced at all. You know what I mean? Like, she's finding old.
Yeah, like small town law where it's like you can't wear red shoes on Sunday or something.
It's like that. She has big books that she'll pull out that look like fancy law books, and she'll read some shit, and you're like, okay, yeah, I believe that's on the books, but that's not really a thing.
Right.
So she's doing that game.
Okay.
And she could find one in all 50 states, probably, if you put her up to the task, because she's that dedicated to, as I said, doing the devil's work.
Well, who was taking care of her kids?
Yeah, that's a good question. We will get to that. That's a good question, because she, by the way, has like 6 fucking kids. So, the rest of the debate is pretty much hinged on this argument that Phyllis has, is that like the right of the wife to be supported. She'll say that a right. Like, it is a right for you to be supported, which I've thought about it a little bit since I wrote this, and I don't know if there's ever a right to be supported. I don't know what that really is supposed to even mean. Is there any case you can think of where you have a right to be? I guess kids.
Children, minors.
The right to be supported by their parents, but they also, if their parents can't, can get supported by the state. So you could argue that the kids have a right to be supported either by their parents or by the state.
Yes.
I guess.
Yes.
But that's not, is it really a right? I don't know. I don't know. I have questions about that wording. I don't know if that's a thing, really. But
I guess she's just connecting it with these these obscure ancient state laws.
Yeah, that she seems to think like save you. And again, she's making these like wild jumps that somehow giving government employees equal rights would do, like nullify all laws, and that.
Yeah, well, that's like a Republican tradition of like taking one thing, and then spiraling it into these hyperbole-esque extremes.
You know, I can relate a little bit to what she's doing, though. I've heard Republicans do this before. I've heard fucking Joe Rogan do this before. Getting confused about the word equality. So the amendment.
Oh, yeah, they have no grasp on that.
Yeah, the amendment is the Equal Rights Amendment. She seems to be taking it as they're going to make men and women equal and enforce laws to make men and women equal, and not that they're going to give women the right to have the same rights as men. Not that they're going to be the same as men. They're going to have the same opportunities, privileges, and rights as men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times people mix that up. I even did in my younger years.
Yeah, they think it means, oh, we're just going to treat women like men.
Right. Right. And I think I may have been a little bit guilty of that when I was younger, being like, well, clearly men and women aren't the same, so why should there be equality? And it's like, well, no one is saying that we're trying to turn women into men or turn men into women. What we're saying is that women should have the same opportunities as men. And I feel like that's a lot harder thing to argue with, and that's why she's stuck on this calling it the Equal Rights Amendment, or just calling it the ERA and implying that it means universal equality. Like, we're going to have some Ender's Game scenario where men are going to have to, like, take estrogen so they won't be as strong, and women are going to have to get hairy or something. You know, like, I think that's kind of partially, like, just a Republican thing. I don't think she was the first person to do it, but she is guilty of it.
I just wonder how much of it was, like, hashing through her own childhood traumas, and how much of it was attention-seeking.
Yeah.
Like, was she...
she was getting a lot of
enjoying
attention.
Enjoying that kind of, like, celebrity...
I think she does. I think you'll get a taste of that in the next kind of upcoming clips. So, that ends that debate that she does. It's not very good. And I hate to, you know, diss on the person opposing her, but Lucy Benson doesn't really do a great job of opposing Phyllis. And she actually gets a little bit upset. And Phyllis won't. And that makes you kind of lose a debate, I think. It's not good for you to get upset and the other person doesn't.
Oh, Phyllis, like, kept her cool?
Oh, yeah. Phyllis is Zen monk on this shit. She will not lose her shit. She never does. And she will constantly smile at the camera and just be ready. She's not going to lose. She won't lose a debate by losing her cool. She'll lose by being an idiot and saying the dumbest shit ever.
Yeah.
But she won't lose by losing her cool, which is something she keeps with her whole life. So, in 1977, she gives a speech to the Daughters of the American Revolution meeting in Cincinnati on her book, The Power of Positive Women. So, Phyllis writes a book called The Power of Positive Women, and she goes to give a speech to the Daughters of the American Revolution, which Wikipedia says is a lineage-based membership service organization for women who are directly descended from a person involved in supporting the American Revolution.
Yeah, you have to show document proof that your ancestors were
good Lord
American revolutionary folk.
I mean, I'm all for America, but I can't think of a place I would rather be less than that. So Phyllis had a way of starting her speeches. She started a lot of her speeches the exact same way, including this speech in 1977, and I'm going to go ahead and play that for you now. So this is how Phyllis just tends to start her speeches.
Thank you very much for those kind words, Madam Regent, distinguished guests, and good friends. It's a very great pleasure to be invited to visit with you for a while this afternoon. And I would like also to thank my husband, Fred, for letting me come. I love to say that because it irritates the women's livers more than anything I say. I can't complain about my husband ever interfering with my civil liberties. Every time we have an argument, he always assures me of my constitutional right to remain silent.
So, what do you think of that? What do you think of that as a method of starting your speech?
It's pretty triggering.
Yeah, yeah.
She knows it.
I know.
So she said, she's like, I always get those liberals all worked up.
Mm-hmm. Does it almost make you not want to get worked up?
Yes.
Is that
makes
that
you
want to
be like, you can't do that to me, Phyllis.
That, yeah, see, maybe it's because I'm a male, but like, that infuriates me. That whole thing just pisses me off. It's very reminiscent of Trump. I'm just going to say incendiary shit.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to say, this is going to piss you off. I am trolling you.
And then be like, ha, 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 look how funny.
How funny it is that it pisses me off.
That they're angry.
Yeah, but it, because it's not really a joke. She's not really joking. That's the thing. She probably does let her husband tell her to shut the fuck up and just like accepts it.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think she does. I think that this isn't really a joke. I think she really is a female male supremacist.
Well, I mean, how much of what she's doing is performance, though? Like,
yeah,
because it could be that she's kind of like Trump in that way, where she just is. She's found this niche, and she's going full on with it, mm-hmm. but it's maybe not necessarily how she really believes or how she really behaves. Like,
well, she wrote a lot about it and she seems to be relatively consistently shitty, so
if she wrote a lot about it, then
I mean, she wrote like 17 books, like a lot.
It just seems weird to me, though, that someone in that kind of position who is clearly intelligent, clearly capable, would ask her husband for permission to travel to do a speech. I just can't seem to find that believable.
Yeah, maybe not.
Like,
maybe not.
As much as I imagine, unless she did it jokingly.
Yeah.
She was like, hey, Fred, can I please go give a speech?
I can't put my finger on it, but something about that just fucking rubs me. It makes me hate her. I hate her so much, Amanda.
Well, I just can't believe it. I don't believe her.
Oh. Well, either way, what she's working for is terrible.
Well, yeah. I understand that. She's having influence on people who are making decisions, and that's disgusting.
And they think that kind of shit is funny.
Yeah, they think it's great, and they want to, you know, woohoo, champion it. But I'm also, as an individual, though, I'm looking at Phyllis the person, and I just really can't fathom her actually being the thing that she's championing.
Yeah, I think I talked about that a little bit in the last episode, that she like creates a fake image of what she is and then says that like if you're not this, then you're wrong. And like, she's not that. Like, she's mad at people for not being this fake thing that she isn't. I talked about that a little bit, and I think that is something that's happening there. It's very frustrating. So, Phyllis, the speech is mostly her railing against the ERA with the same shit we've already heard. She did add something new to the mix in this next clip. So this next one is something new. We haven't heard from her yet, but it is something that she liked to do.
The second dogma of the women's liberation movement is that of all the examples of injustice to women and oppression of women, the greatest is that women get pregnant and men don't get pregnant. And obviously, if women are going to have their full equality, their full fulfillment in our society, we have got to make them equal in the right and ability not to be pregnant. And that is why the women's liberation movement is compulsively oriented into abortion on demand, funded by the government, accepted by our people as just simply another operation like a tonsillectomy or an appendectomy. They see in this as the only way that women can achieve their full equality.
So, okay, so there's that one. We hadn't heard her do her anti-abortion argument.
Abortion on demand.
Yeah, like you're going through a drive-thru.
Like a Mickey D's.
Yeah.
And you're like,
a McBortion.
A McBortion. They're like, what do you have? And you're like, I'd like a number one, please.
Yeah.
McBortion with fries.
So it's very similar to today. I mean, you could hear something like that today, that anti-abortion like argument.
Oh,
like, that's
yeah,
exactly
absolutely.
Like what they
that's,
do.
That it almost felt like it was something played recently on a news station.
But no, indeed, this was 1977, and she is pioneering it because, as I said earlier, the moderate Republicans and almost all lefties were pretty much fine with abortion at this time. She's turning that into a thing. She's moving the Overton window with this, and it's, oh, God. Oh, God. So the bulk of this speech that she gave was mostly her setting up what she called the dogmas and commandments of the women's liberation movement, which is code for straw man arguments that she can knock down, and they're all bullshit.
Yeah, she had to make up something to argue against it.
Mm-hmm. So I did want to include one example of her homophobia. So on this one, I think it's like the fifth commandment of women's liberty or something like that. But we get a well-rounded sort ofness of her and her homophobia. Yeah. So figured I'd throw that in there in case you thought maybe...
You gotta spread the hate.
Yeah, in case you thought maybe she liked gay people, I just have to include this one.
The fifth commandment of the women's liberation movement is that we must be neutral as between morality and immorality. And you will find that this is a thread running through all of what they do. A major goal of their movement is to establish the homosexuals and the lesbians as just as respectable, just as entitled to rights and privileges under our system as husbands and wives.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Wow. That was some...
Not the gays and the lesbians having a right.
And being well respected. Ooh. Could you imagine her pearl clutching bullshit? It's super bad. It's super bad. And I understand that I guess a lot of people talk that way in 1977, but it's still bad hearing somebody say it.
How many people talk that way in 2024?
Yeah. She did just like lay it out there though. Like that
she did.
Be
she wasn't, she did not couch it or like hide it into dog whistles. She just put it out.
And she doesn't think that anyone could see it any other way. Like how could anyone think of a homosexual?
She called it the morality, you know, like, what's moral and what's immoral, and obviously we all know.
To just have this idea, that like my biblical morality, everyone clearly is fine, and we all agree that...
It's an air of superiority.
It's fucking... Oh, God. So she has more to say that is homophobic, but honestly, it's literally the same ignorant bigotry that you sometimes hear today. And I think you get the point. I don't want to platform any more homophobia.
She just kind of hates everybody.
Yeah. I just had to prove that she did it, but I don't really want to platform it or talk about it much more. She's fucking homophobic as shit, and it's annoying. I watched the rest of the shit show of a speech, and everything I didn't include is just more of the same types of things that we've heard in clips. So let's move on to the totally rad 80s. How about that? How about
right.
We get out of the 70s and move on into the 80s? So for a second, we have to talk about a thing that's called white supremacist maternalism. This is the sort of idea that the United States needs laws to help make white mothers of white children feel like their kids are safe. These laws are usually applied very unevenly to protect children, but in the end up just hurting mostly non-white people. For example, Phyllis threw her support behind Ronald Reagan in 1980, and he would go on to have Nancy Reagan do her Just Say No anti-drug campaign, which would support laws that we now know to be exceptionally racist in their application. This idea that we need a prison state that disproportionately locks up black and brown people to protect white kids is at least partially Phyllis's doing. She was making white moms the most important voting bloc for the Republican Party. Phyllis started groups baking bread to give to lawmakers to help protect homemade moms, and she called it From the Bread Makers to the Bread Winners.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. So that's a hell of a paragraph, huh?
I hate her.
Yeah.
Well, That did it.
Yeah, well, I wrote that paragraph because I hate her as well.
How is she real?
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't. Like, it just feels so not real.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think about the white mom's maternalism, the white supremacist maternalism thing? I think that's pretty interesting. It's something I looked into a little bit for this.
Well, I mean, it's true. Like, that's the prime example in the 80s would have been the difference between prison time assigned to those who were arrested for cocaine versus those who were arrested for crack cocaine.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, there was definitely, and it might even still be the case that, like, you could break into a random rich person's house and probably find way more cocaine than you could find on a whole block of crack. And yet those people would go to jail for much longer, and the person with the house full of cocaine wouldn't really get in trouble at all.
Yeah, I mean, we know now, like, looking back, like, we know that was not the 80s and the whole war on drugs and the just say no. We know all of that was really just a waste of resources and time, and all it did was further marginalize and subject people to terrible things.
Yeah, and I think you get a little bit of it in the Save the Children QAnon crowd of, like, they mean save white children from black and brown
people. It also rolls right into that, the Joe Rogan, I don't mean to, I know it's okay. very upsetting to you, but the police state support, the intensifying the laws and the rules and the arrests and the, we've got to crack down on all these people and their drugs and their, you know.
Yeah. And it's just to protect. I mean, like, they'll never say it that way, but they really only care about white people.
Yes.
And then the proof of that is that the laws they always make to supposedly save the children or to protect the children always end up disproportionately hurting.
I'm really surprised that Phyllis doesn't just come right out and say it.
Yeah, me too.
She's pretty direct.
I had to kind of lay that out there, but I don't know. She, like I said, she clearly pisses me off a lot too. I think we're both equally pissed off by her. I think at this point we both hate her quite a lot. I don't know.
I just can't fathom how she's real.
Yeah, or how I managed to watch hours and hours of this lady talk.
I don't know how you did that.
Yeah, it was hard. It was hard. I had to sometimes go to my happy place and just pretend.
Go to my happy place.
Just pretend she doesn't exist. So I have a clip from 1983 in which Phyllis was in an episode of Crossfire with Pat Buchanan and a guy named Tom Braden. Phyllis is doing her normal thing, complaining about media bias against Reagan, and then this happens.
The state of Washington, a judge out there, ruled that women were entitled to comparable pay for comparable work. Do you agree with that?
I think it's terrible, because what they decided was they want to pay laundry workers and clerical workers the same as truck drivers. And because this judge has decided that there was somehow some massive conspiracy to pay women laundry workers and clerical workers less than male truck drivers, he has hit the state of Washington with what they estimate will cost them $1 billion.
I don't understand how no one hate crimed against her.
Yeah. That one I forgot. Okay, a little insight. I completely somehow forgotten I cut that clip and how bad that clip was. That, paying women equal, that would be terrible.
She's like, that's a horrible idea.
It's going to cost $1 billion.
You want to pay a clerical worker the same as a truck driver?
Yeah.
That's absurd.
Oh, man. Wow.
You know what, Phyllis? Yes, it is absurd.
Oh.
Because that's not what it's about.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It's about paying a female truck driver the same as a male truck driver.
Yep.
And she would say, a female truck driver.
That shouldn't be a thing.
Ludicrous.
How crazy. Why, they would have to lift heavy things.
Ew.
Yeah, yep. So this whole Crossfire debate is a hot mess, but this next clip is a big one. I will think there's going to be quite a bit to unpack after this next clip. This clip, it's not that long, but it manages to piss me off in so many different ways that I almost come out of it in a Zen sort of Buddhist state where I'm just not even mad anymore because I'm pissed off in so many different ways.
That's not Zen Buddhist state. That's you dissociated.
Yeah. My brain just shuts off and I just go to a field of poppies whenever I hear this. So
that's a trauma response.
Yeah, I guess.
Just so you know.
Well, I'm going to share that with you. So that's where we're going.
Why do you think there is a gender gap? Women 25 to 40 years old are the weakest group, I guess, besides blacks and some minorities, of general support for Ronald Reagan. Why do you think that is so?
Well, the biggest problem with women today is divorce. And divorced women have suffered a great economic deprivation. Mm-hmm. When the average woman goes through divorce, her standard of living goes down severely while the ex-husband's goes up.
Why should she be against Ronald Reagan for that reason?
Well, because she's unhappy with things that have happened. And a lot of these propagandists in the media have tried to tell her this is Ronald Reagan's fault. Of course, it's not his fault. He can't do anything about
that. Why would they blame it on him, though? I mean, he's persuaded other people. The media says, a lot of the media says Reagan's the fault of everything. Why is the media persuasive with this group and not, say, persuasive with men over 40?
Because they are talking about it all the time. You realize the gender gap isn't something that's real. It is only something that exists in these polls.
Dear God.
I really hate her.
Oh, dear God. There's so much there. That little clip has so much. First of all, Pat Robertson is the sensible person here.
Which, on what planet?
Yeah, that's fucking Pat Robertson being at least intelligible. At least
where he's like, well, but wait a minute.
Yeah, even he is like, even Pat fucking Robertson is like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, you're not making any sense. This is crazy. Why? Oh, God. The first thing he does is the racism, you know, when he's like, besides blacks.
Well, I mean, besides those other, you know, brownish-looking people.
Why are women the least supportive of Ronald Reagan?
And then she goes on to say it's because Ronald Reagan broke up their marriages.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan made them get divorced.
And made them poor.
And then he's like, well, why in the world would they think that Ronald Reagan made them divorced and poor?
Because the media won't stop talking about it.
Yeah.
Obviously. And by the way, Pat,
let's get real.
The gender gap, not a thing.
What?
Not a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Is she from space? What is this lady?
That's a Lady Trump is who that is.
Mm-hmm.
That's some like talking out your rear end, just making it up on the fly.
So, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that because when we were talking in our first episode about her, I was like, I'm going to try to prove to you and to the audience that this lady is pretty much primarily to blame more than anyone else for Donald Trump's existence.
Mm.
And I knew that would be a hard task, and yeah. I knew it would be crazy.
Right, because she didn't birth him.
But this was 1983, and we're already thinking that. She has lives for another long period of time.
Unfortunately.
And yes, she does.
No one hate-crimed her.
Uh-huh. And it will only become easier for me to make the argument that she is Donald Trump and she's the reason there is Donald Trump. She invented this thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool that we're already at that point because that's what I was trying to...
This approach of like deflecting and blaming.
Uh-huh.
And
it's
so
really
gross.
Fucking fucked up, isn't it?
It's gross.
Yeah, yeah.
And she kind of is like a Donald Trump.
So, you know, we were just being born when this was happening.
Well, maybe you were.
Yeah.
I didn't come around for a lot longer
after that. I was just being born when this was happening. So, it's insane. So, by 1985, the ERA still hadn't passed and it was basically dead. It had passed a deadline that they'd given it and it wasn't going to pass. So now Phyllis had to focus her attention on hating gay people. Her Eagle Forum newsletter published some horrible anti-gay cartoons, and I have one here to show you to get you to describe to the audience, so you can get an idea.
I love verbally describing hateful images.
Yeah, that's
thank you.
Yeah. So here you go. Here is a cartoon from her Eagle Forum newsletter. All right, so what do you think of this cartoon?
There's a lot going on in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a drag queen horse.
Uh-huh.
That's a Trojan horse, allegedly.
Yeah.
A drag queen Trojan horse.
Mm-hmm. A drag queen Trojan horse.
Well, it says the ERA Trojan horse is full of abominations.
Mm-hmm.
And then below that, there's three different kind of cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is the Trojan horse where it's a gay couple that have taken a baby, presumably from the Trojan horse.
Yeah, I guess so.
And the baby's looking at them going, mama, ?
Uh-huh.
And then the second cartoon is a pregnant lady who sang, abortion on demand. I have a right to be free of this like a man, and then there's a little bubble coming from her stomach, and it says, help.
Yeah.
Yep. And then the third cartoon under the heading is a picture of, it says, state nurseries so all mothers can join the workforce. And it's a cartoon of a mother dropping off her child at a nursery that's just a building with a giant mouth where the door is and arms coming out to grab the kid.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There's a lot to go over there, isn't there?
Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it?
There's a lot here.
So there's homophobia, a lot of it.
Yes.
There's women getting abortions so they can go to work.
Yes.
There's the mouth and arms on the nursery, which I think is reminiscent of QAnon and like the elites want to eat your babies.
Government swallowing your mm-hmm. child or yep. whatever, yeah.
So we see the beginnings of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's all going on in that one little cartoon. That was what she made the Eagle Forum to do, to publish shit like that.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's pretty weird.
It's weird. It's horrible, too. This is one of a bajillion. They made bunches of these, and it's just propaganda. I mean, mm-hmm. it's propaganda is what it is, and it's horrible. And she, when AIDS crisis thing was happening, she was against teaching safe sex because she was saying that it's teaching safe sodomy.
Yeah, I figure that her increase in the homophobia most likely corresponded to the AIDS crisis.
Yep.
Like, as the 80s progressed, she yep. probably got even more vocal
mm-hmm.
of her hate for gays.
And if there's anything, I guess this is a positive. Trump doesn't overtly hate gay people as much as Phyllis did. I guess that's a positive for him. Yes, I don't hate them as much as she did.
Yeah, I mean,
I got a couple of friends who are gay.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you're not homophobic.
No, I think he is. I think he's probably like, I don't know what they do. They yeah, probably like, go home and touch dicks.
Don't touch me.
Yeah.
Don't come near me. Yeah, really.
Like, I don't want you to like look at, yeah.
Go. Why are you looking at me?
Yeah, I don't think that's cool, but but like, you can do you. Just do it over there.
Away from me.
Yeah. I feel like that's, but I mean, that's at least better. I would prefer that to fucking Phyllis putting this shit out. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's somewhat progress. I don't know. I'm just trying to get some hope out of this because we've been going over her for a while, and she drains you, don't she?
No, she's definitely a shitbag.
Mm-hmm. She's yeah. a Republican shitbag.
Yeah, she's a good pick.
So, yeah.
For your series.
Yeah, yeah, she is. She's the worst. So, next week we are going to finish up learning about Phyllis. I'm going to try to wrap up the rest of the stupid shit she said and get to her finally kicking the bucket.
I am looking forward to. I want to hear how the 90s went for her.
Yeah, well, so.
Because the 90s, there's some changes were happening.
There were some changes, and she had some things to say. And I've already watched hours of her, and by this point, I think I can do a few more. But once we're done with this, I don't think I'm ever going to engage with Phyllis Schlafly-related material ever again. I think I will have had my fill by then. But we can get her out of the way and get done with her. But she, yes, another Republican shitbag. And next week's going to be fun because we are going to get to, if anything, we're going to get to the end where she dies. So, hooray.
Finally.
Fucking all right. So
that's so messed up.
It is, but she earned it. She worked real hard to earn it. I watched more. Oh, okay. So we appreciate everybody listening. I hope it was infuriating you as it was to us, but I hope you also had some laughs around the way, and I hope you learned something. I hope you learned that, you know, people actively work to make things this way, and she was one of them. So anyway, love everybody. Thank you for listening. Be sure to check out our website, carolinasnowflakes.com. If you have anything to say about Phyllis, I'd love to hear it at our Gmail, carolinasnowflakes@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and tune in next week for more Phyllis fucking Schlafly.
Bye.